Oh man, dang. Oh, junior high sitting in the back, I guess. Nice. Oh, good evening. How's everybody feeling tonight? Fantabulous. I could talk. I literally can talk like a pirate all day if I so desired. I really could. When I found, back like a couple years ago, I found out about on Facebook, you had the pirate. They have the pirate language instead of English or Spanish. You could do pirate. Yeah, I love that one. Do you guys remember that? No, you don't remember that? Oh, if you look, it's still there. I think it is. It's been a while. Anyway. All right, y'all ready to get in the Word tonight? Yay, y'all. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's do this. Yeah. It's been a while. I've been out for at least a week because I had a baby. Yeah. I look pretty good for it, too. No. No, you should have been there, man. No, you shouldn't have. You should not have been there. It was crazy. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, so I've been gone for a week because I had a baby, my wife, and stuff like that. It was pretty good. I feel like I should have a picture or something, but I don't. Her name's Juliet. Juliet Rain Villanueva. That was my wife's idea. Rain, Rain. That's kind of cute. Really kind of cute. But that's because she's a cute kid. She's a cute little skinny kid. And yeah, it's pretty neat. So maybe next time I'll have a picture. I feel really bad. I'm talking about the kid. She has like the newborn baby blue gray eyes. Yeah, the ojitos. That's yeah. And she has blue eyes right now. I don't know if they're gonna stay, but I'm praying for green eyes because I really want her to have green eyes. Because then I'll have a kid with brown eyes, a kid with green eyes, and a kid with gray blue eyes. Yeah, I'll have like the whole rainbow of eyes. Okay, now I don't really know. She doesn't have a lot of hair. Somebody's asking if she's blonde, but she has brown hair right now. So I know. But she's a white kid, so I had yet another white baby. So not that there's anything wrong with being white. I love white people because my children are white. I'm actually white too, but I'm mostly Spanish, Mexican, brown. I don't know. I'm Polish. I'm not sorry, I'm not winning anybody over here right now, I'm sure. This is why I try to stick to the Word, because I get myself in trouble when I talk about other things. Anyway, you guys ready to get in the Word then? Okay, we already prayed. So let's dive into this. Okay, so last week Beth was here. You guys enjoyed Beth. Beth worked it. She took care of business. Yeah. Oh man. So Beth, was talking about shipwrecked. As you know, we're continuing in shipwreck part two. And we're talking about this idea of shipwrecks, and it's really, I think it's really interesting because whether you realize or not, we're all going to experience it. And the only determining factor on whether or not you'll survive your shipwreck is if you're ready for it, if you're prepared for it, if you know what to expect. Because the truth of the matter all rests in this. Is you can and you will get shipwrecked. That is not even a question. The question is whether or not you'll sink. You see, the Bible tells us this, and the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he's writing this letter. He's writing about his life, about all the things that happened to him. And he says this. He says this strange thing in 2 Corinthians 11, 25. He says, he begins to list all the bad things that happened to him, literally. But it's not a downer party he's having. He's just beginning to list all these things that he's suffered and endured. And on it, he lists, I was shipwrecked 3 times. I mean, seriously, it's one thing to be shipwrecked once, but 3 times? I mean, last year, I remember hearing on the news the story about all these cruises that are going bad, and I hear the stories like there's this one huge Carnival cruise line that broke down, literally stuck at sea for days. The tugboat tried to get it, the tugboat broke. All the bathrooms and toilets began overflowing. The air conditioning didn't work. Literally, people were getting sick. The food went bad. It was bad. And I think, it's like if you go on a cruise and it happens, and then you go on a cruise and that happens again, if you go on a cruise again, then it's your fault, okay? Is literally, but here Paul is, he's writing this, he says, 3 times I was beaten with rods, that's pretty bad. I was stoned, had nothing to do with weed. He says, 3 times, nothing to do, that was rocks, literally, that's what they would do, they throw rocks at your head. And he says, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the water, in the deep, like Titanic to the max. And all throughout the whole chapter, he lists these things that happened to him. He was dead, but somebody prayed over him, and brother popped up. It says that literally he was alone. He was cold. He was left out in the cold, in the snow, without clothes. I mean, the guy just had a really bad run of things happen to him. I mean, it's safe to say Paul was shipwrecked, but he didn't sink. And the question today is this is, when your ship goes down, are you going to go down with it? Pastor Richard, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even like the water. Pastor Richard, I don't even swim. This is what I'm talking about. A shipwreck is when something you were hoping for doesn't happen. A shipwreck is when something you were praying for hasn't come yet. A shipwreck is when everything that you were relying on falls through. It's when you mess up and you fall into sin or give in to temptation and everything goes wrong. It's when you were hoping and praying for something to work out, but for some reason it didn't work out. Everything you were riding on to keep you above the waves, for whatever reason, it fell apart and you find yourself on the water. You see, that's what happened to Paul. He was shipwrecked. And I don't know if that's happened to you or if it's happened yet, but something's going to happen. And a time's going to come in your life, whether it's the progress report that goes out, or maybe it's the girlfriend that breaks up with you, or maybe it's the fact that your parents, for whatever reason, maybe all the fighting that's been going on, it just doesn't work out and you get the bad news. Something can or will happen in your life that'll throw you out the boat. But just because your ship goes down doesn't mean that you've got to sink. Because it was never about the ship in the first place. You see, that's what Paul begins to tell us here. He actually tells a story in Acts 27, and I believe you guys heard it last week, but I'll just go through it real quick. Is Paul's in jail, and he's in jail anyway, and it turns out that he needs to be transported. So they put him in a prisoner ship. And here he is in this prisoner ship, and they go out at the worst time of the year, and there they are on the water. This is just one of the three shipwrecks he was in. And all of a sudden, the winds kick up, and they end up getting stalled out in the middle of the sea. No land to be seen. Everything gets ugly, and there they are for days, just floating in a boat full of prisoners. Now, they didn't have room service. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have any rescue boats. They didn't have lifeboats back then at this time period. And all of a sudden, the winds begin to toss and turn. And finally, the winds begin to push them to a place where they begin to, at the very distance, see land. Since they were on the ocean for no less than 2-3 weeks. Could you imagine that? I mean, how much food do you pack for in a boat? There's no refrigerator, so what kind of food lasts for 2 or 3 weeks? I mean, is it just beef jerky all day, every day? Because it's not milk, that's for sure. And all of a sudden, you know, they finally begin to throw down the anchors, and a storm comes through and beats them and batters them. An angel comes to Paul in the middle of the night and says, hey, you guys are going to be fine as long as you stay here. And he wakes up, and all of a sudden, the ship captains begin to throw everything overboard because the waves are tossing the ship. They begin to get scared, so they release the anchors, and the waves push them in. And all of a sudden, Paul's like, look, guys, you just calm down. God told me. He's got our back. And things begin to get even worse, and they still haven't hit land yet, so they begin to throw people overboard. It just gets ugly. And eventually, they hit ground. The boat falls apart, and they end up on this deserted island. That's right, a deserted island. And they go on, and the natives are kind of rough and crazy. So there they are, all these prisoners. And they're trying to warm up around a fire, and a snake comes and bites him, poisons him. But he prays and shakes it off and doesn't die. Finally, help comes, and they take Paul to prison. From there, talk about worst month ever. And that's just one of the three stories of Paul's shipwrecks. So what the heck does that have to do with you? If you guys got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. This is what we're talking about today. You know, today, I guess if you were to put a title on this, I guess you could call this Anchors Away. It's something funny happened is in that story, there they were, and they put four anchors down. And they were safe and they were sound. The waves beat them, but nothing happened. And it all really began to go downhill as soon as they began to let go of the anchors. You know, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 18 and 19, the Bible tells us this. It says, It says that by two immutable things, two things that can't change, two things you can't refute, two things that you just know are the truth, in which one of them is this, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have this, a strong consolation, a hope for those who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Verse 19 says, now this hope we have as an anchor to the soul, one that's both sure and steadfast, that enters the presence, God's presence behind the veil. These two verses, I don't know if you caught it, but it says this. It says that there's some things that you can't argue with. And one of them is this, is that God's given you hope because he won't lie. And this is what the hope is. It says that this hope is an anchor. It's an anchor that'll keep you steady. You know, Captain Jack Bones was talking about it. He says, no matter how hard the waves, the anchor will hold you right in the place you ought to be. You see, the anchor is what keeps. It's barely the size of the boat. I mean, it's a small, heavy, weighted thing that they throw over the side, attached to a chain or a huge rope, and it grabs hold of the ground, of the rocks, of something steady, and it keeps that boat from floating away, keeps it from capsizing, it keeps it in a safe spot. You see, that's what Jesus is. It says Jesus gives you hope that when your ship wrecks, or when your ship is on the brink of falling apart, it says when your ship is in the middle of a storm, when everything you're hoping on, every dream that you have, every prayer that you've prayed, when it begins to get shaken, it'll stay in a safe place as long as it's anchored to something well. It says Jesus is that anchor. So I don't know what your shipwreck is or what's challenging in your life. But Jesus desires to take care of that challenge, to give you a safe place to run to. Because the problem is a lot of times we cause other things to be our anchors. A lot of times the problem is we hang on to other things in life outside of Jesus. And that's where we get into trouble. You see, the boat was fine until they began to let go of the anchors in Paul's story. The ship ran aground and things got ugly. You see, Jesus is our anchor. And in your life, you need to stay anchored. You need to hang on to the things that you know are sure and steady, because if you don't, you're going to have trouble. You see, you need to stay anchored, because here's the thing. It says here in Hebrews, it says, this stuff is immutable. It's unchanging. It's without argument. You know, you see, God is a safe and secure anchor. Why? Because he never changes. Yeah, there's a saying that says the only thing that's certain is uncertainty. The only thing that never changes is that it always changes. The only constant is change. And that's true. Look, the clothes you're wearing now will not be cool in 5 years. They may not even be cool in a year. They're cool now, but they may not be cool in a year. It changes. Look, I mean, you hopefully, prayerfully, are going to hit a growth spurt and get taller. I'm still waiting for mine. You know, look. The truth is, this is your body's changing, your voice is getting deeper, your mustache is growing in thicker. Prayerfully, praying for you. Look. You're not going to live in the same house forever. You're going to hopefully one day move out of your parents' place. One day, hopefully, your marital status will change. Hopefully, one day, brother going to get paid, right? Everything changes. I mean, not just for the good. Maybe things change for the bad. Maybe this school year has not turned out like you hoped it to turn out. Maybe your family is having challenges that you didn't really want to go through. I don't know. But here's what I do know, is that the waves can go up and down. The ship can get tossed to and fro. But when you set anchor, the anchor stays exactly where it needs to stay so that the ship isn't lost. You see, an anchor is something stable in your life. And I know we live in a world that's very unstable. Even right now, America's on the brink of war again. Again. I don't know if you've been watching the news or anything like that, but it's again. About ready to bomb somebody else. Look, how unstable can our world be? One day, mom has a job. Next day, who knows? But here's the truth, is the world can change. Your entire life can be shaken and turned upside down. But if your hope, your anchor is set on Jesus Christ, then the entire world can be set upside down. But you know what? It doesn't matter one bit, because I know my God will never change. And he was good yesterday, and he'll be good today. And if he's good today, he'll be good tomorrow. If he was good for Pastor Richard, he'll be good for you. Because you see, our God is unchanging. See, if God did a miracle for a brother named Moses thousands of years ago, then God could do a miracle for a brother named you. Well, you're not a brother, but you're a sister. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the truth is this. Is the God of the Bible is the God of your life. And the amazing things God did for the people in the Bible, God didn't like them any more than he likes you. God doesn't like Pastor Richard any more than he likes you. Look, there are no favorites in God's kingdom. I don't care what anybody's told you. There are no favorites. God doesn't like pastors or men better than women. God doesn't like old folk better than young folk. God does not use people with gray hair more than he uses people with whatever hair you got. God is not biased. He is unchanging, and he is ever faithful. If he was there, he will be there. If he helped them, he can help you. Look. The stories that we hear are not just for missionaries out in a far-off nation. No, it's for you today and for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. See, if God answered your prayers before, he is just waiting to answer your prayers today and tomorrow. Because God is unchanging. He is the only stable thing in our lives. In Hebrews 3:18, the Bible says, go ahead and put it up there. Hebrews 3:18, we're reading in Hebrews for a little bit. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today. When back in the Old Testament, Moses said, God, what's your name? And God said this funny word, kind of sounds almost like a sneeze or a cough. He said, Yahweh. And that name, Yahweh, is real simple. It means that God said, look, if anybody asks my name, you tell them, I was, I am, and I will be. He said, I was, I is, and I will be. He said, that's my name forever. I was, and I am, and I will be. I am. Jesus said, you know what? I am. Here in Hebrews it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If he was good, he is good. If he is good, he will be good. Even though your life may not be good, no, that doesn't matter because your anchor is good. There's waves. That's what the anchor was made for. The anchor was made for the waves. That when the waves want to push you to the left, it keeps you to the right. When the waves want to push you to the right, it keeps you to the left. When the waves want to push you into the rocks, it keeps you in the ocean. That's what the anchor was made for. The anchor was made to stay stable because nothing else is stable. See, that's why God is the same, because this crazy world we live in never stays still. We live in an ADD world that it's good one day, it's bad the next day. Bad the next day, it gets even worse the day after. And then as soon as it gets worse, it gets a little bit better only to get worse again. But God is always good, whether your life is good or bad. And if your life is bad, but you have a good God, well then, hey, you know what? That's okay, because that means your life really is good. See, God never changes, and he's an anchor that keeps us stable. It just is all dependent on what is your anchor. Because if your whole world falls apart because of a person leaves you, because of a hope that gets dashed, and I'll tell you this, your anchor was never Jesus. It was that hope or that thing or that person. You need to find something else. You know, your life, your situation needs to be tied to Jesus, because he will not change. And he was and is and will always be good. He's a rock, a solid ground. And God cannot be shaken. And God will be the one shaking it up, but he will not be shaken. You see, you need to stay anchored, because God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you need to stay anchored to Jesus. Because if that's true, then this next thing makes it even better. Because God will not lie to you.
I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever been lied to, but it feels pretty bad.
Especially when you find out that somebody's been lying to your face. Been there, done that, you know, bought the T-shirt, sold it to a thrift store, and somebody else got it from me. See, hey, look, I hate lies. I can't stand them. And I know that everybody around me, maybe, possibly one day, will fib, will lie, will tell me a half-truth. I'll say, hey, does this shirt look good? And they'll say, yeah. People lie to your face, but God will never lie.
And that's good because God didn't lie and he won't lie. You look in the Bible, cover to cover, you won't find one contradiction. You may think so. Somebody might have told you so. You might have heard it on a TV show. But I'll tell you, if you were to actually read the Bible yourself, you would find no contradiction in it. Because what God says, he does. Look, if God said it, he will deliver. God does not promise. God will not leave you hanging. God will not tell you something good and then give you something bad. That's not the way God works. You know, the Bible says that God can do anything except one thing. There's only one thing that God cannot and will not do is he won't lie. That's the only thing. Pastor Richard, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? That's a stupid question. Because, of course he can. But then he'll be stronger and pick up that rock. And then the rock will just get bigger. And then he'll get stronger and pick up the other rock. No, I don't know. That's a dumb question. Anyway, that's a dumb question. But the Bible says this, that God, the only thing God won't do is he won't lie. God is bound by his own word. If he says it, he's required to do it. Required to do it. If God promised it, then you can go to the bank on it. See, God is bound. He said, that's my only boundary, is I will not lie. Is if I say it, as surely as the sun rises the next day, I will do it. I will do it. You can set your clock to me. You see, God says, I cannot and will not lie. It's kind of funny because we're used. I mean, look, as a people, we are used to being lied to. It's just, and to be honest, we're used to lying to people. I mean, all you have to do is turn the TV on. And every day, I remember as a kid, I would watch commercials, and I think that would be so awesome to get that toy. So awesome to do this thing. You know, you see, as a kid, I'd watch Saturday morning cartoons, and I would see this Ninja Turtle thing fly or ride, and I thought, oh my gosh, if I got that. I mean, they always have the coolest backgrounds, and like these little plastic walls are breaking down, and then the doll or the action figure is talking. And you get it, it's not talking. We're advertising is the biggest lie in the world. You know, I mean, if you go to the grocery store and it says, you know, 5 more ounces of chips, the only reason there's 5 more ounces of chips is because the past year they've taken 5 ounces out only so you can put five more ounces in. That's literally what they do. That's the truth. If they say more than before, that's because they took some away. When there's a sale at Kohl's, there's not a sale at Kohl's. That's just because they mark the prices up. It's a lie. It's a big, stinky, nasty lie. Look, McDonald's hamburgers do not look like the commercial. And this is the truth. They're liars. Watch. Put the picture up. This is what it really looks like. This is a horrible, nasty lie. That's not true. That is. Seriously, that is a picture. They have food makeup artists that make that thing on the left. Literally. They cut it down the middle of the back. They spread it out. It's nasty. Look, what's even, yeah, the one in it, it's just, the, okay, even worse is this. Show me the Burger King. Whopper? Yeah, that's a Whopper of a lie. Yeah, Burger King's questionable sometimes. I don't know. I mean, they put a lot of mayonnaise on it. Anyway, but see, I mean, look, there's nothing like it. That's not even real food. That'll kill you faster than the other stuff will kill you. Because it'll all kill you. It's a lie. Yeah, no, In-N-Out is not a lie. That's because it's built on godly foundations. There's Bible verses on it, right? It's got to be good. In-N-Out's got to be good because there's Bible verses on it. Somebody's in trouble. See, this is what it all boils down to, guys. Is we're so used to being fed a lie that when we hear something from God, we don't believe it all the time. God, will you really help me out? God, you say you have plans for my life, but should I really believe that? And all of a sudden, we begin to say, okay, well, I couldn't trust my dad, or I couldn't trust McDonald's, or I can't trust my best friend. I can't trust mom. I can't even trust myself. So how the heck am I going to trust God? How? Because I'm used to being lied to and let down so much. I mean, God, if I really don't do this, is it going to hurt me? I mean, look, God, I know you tell me not to do this and don't do this and live life this way, but you know what? I don't really believe it because I don't think you're really telling me the truth. I know you say if I live this way, then things will be better. But you know what? I'd rather do things myself. I'd rather trust. See, what happens is this, is we're so used to being lied to. We don't believe that God really is an anchor that keeps us where we need to be. So we just figure God's going to lie to us or tell us half-truths. We think God's like us. Or God's like your dad. Or maybe God's like your old boyfriend. Or maybe God's like your best friend that you know what, he's here some of the time, but not really. Maybe God's like, no, God's not like any of that. You see, God's different than you. God's different than your family. God's different than your friends. God's different. Thank you, Jesus. God's different than your teachers. You know what I'm saying? No offense. But God's different than that. See, God cannot lie. Because if he said it, he'll follow through with it. If God said it, he will do it. You know, we just read it in Hebrews. It said, this thing is immutable, that God cannot lie. And because he can't lie, that means we have hope. Because God's, if I don't know if you've ever read this book before, but there's a lot of really good stuff in here. I know that sounds funny, but I don't think a lot of us in this place have read this book. I really don't think we have. I mean, you may have stared at the words or maybe flipped some pages, but I don't think we've really read this thing. Because if you really read this, I think we would all kind of be a little different. And nothing wrong with you guys now. I like you guys as the way you are. I think I'm all right, but I think we actually read this and trust it. Really believe it. I mean, this isn't like Mother Goose and Red Riding Hood. This is the real stuff, guys. And God says some amazing things in there about you, about your family, about your future. God says some amazing things about how we're supposed to live life and the way we're supposed to treat people. God says some pretty amazing things about what happens when we pray and believe and trust God. But it only happens when we really, really believe that God's not going to lie to us. I mean, isn't that what faith is? Trusting? Isn't that what believing God's telling the truth is? I mean, if he's not going to lie to us, then we can trust him. If we trust him, then we actually believe what that book says. I mean, look, God is not some cheesy advertiser. A few years ago, you know, Axe body spray was really big, and I don't know if you guys wear that or do. I mean, nobody's convulsing right now, so I guess nobody in here is wearing it. But literally, marketing research said that their commercials worked so well. Axe body spray commercials worked so well when they first came out that schools literally had to ban kids from using it. I don't know if your school has any of it, but you can't. You cannot wear this stuff because eighth grade boys would put it on so thick from their head to their toes. Literally, it would clear out. It would clear out rooms. There's a story where one boy put so much of this stuff on in Canada that literally a girl next to him started breaking out. Her body started shaking. She got headaches. She had to be sent home because the smell was so overpoweringly strong. It was literally so bad that from that point on, because that girl had this medical breakout, they had to ban it from the entire school. It was just bad. It was bad. Please don't abuse people's noses in this room. It was literally that bad. But these kids believed it. They believed if I spray this, was it shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest? Okay, I'm not going to say that. Okay, yeah, okay. Psh, psh, okay, they believe if I do that, then women will fall over me and they will nibble on my ears like I'm made of chocolate or something. I mean, literally, I saw that commercial. That was weird. And they believed it. Look, if we can believe Axe body spray, surely we can believe the Bible, right? Can I at least get an amen for that? Oh, my Lord, Pastor Joe. Killing me, Smalls. Killing me. Okay. Jesus has to be your anchor. Because, look, God is unchangeable. Always was, always will be. Look, he will not lie. He will not lie to you or to me. What he said he'll do, because it's a promise. God never goes back on his promise. And when you boil it all down, you know, God knows the beginning from the end. If you guys got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46 is really kind of a neat thing. I've been reading a lot of Isaiah lately. It's crazy stuff. In Isaiah 46, in verse 9 and 10,
God says something interesting. He says this. He says, remember the former things of old? He says, I am God, and there is no other. He says, I am God, and there is no one like me. He says, remember the things I used to do. Remember the things that I've done before. There's nobody like me. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, I did that. He says, my counsel will stand, and I will do all my pleasure. See, God's saying, look, you think you know, but you don't know. I know. And this is bizarre because, you know, as we read Bible stories, sometimes we think, oh, it's so easy because they're in the Bible. They knew, they know. Paul, look, this is Paul we're talking about. Peter, one of the apostles, one of the disciples. This is Peter. Of course he's going to do things right because he's in the Bible. But see, they only knew as much as you know. They knew about their lives as much as you knew about your life. I mean, could you imagine Paul saying, all right, God, I'm preaching. And seriously, we're going to get a third shipwreck? God, didn't you tell me to get on this boat in the first place, and now it's going to wreck? Could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine Paul, the apostle, the guy who God used the right part of the Bible? There he is in prison again in Rome. And there he is on death row. Could you imagine? This isn't like some type of cool gangster rap thing, you know, like, oh, man, I got some street cred now. No! He's in death row. There's no getting out. There's roaches and nastiness And there's these disgusting things, and people are rotting right next to him, and he is set to die. They're going to cut his head off with a dull axe. This is God. Look, this is Paul. God, I've healed people with my own hand. God, I've put my hands on people who are blind, and when I took my hand away, they could see. I've prayed. And those things I prayed actually happened. Because God, I wrote these letters. I started dozens of churches. I've traveled the entire known world. And here I am in death row in prison. And tomorrow I'm going to be executed. Talk about a shipwreck. At what point do you say, God, are you really real? You know? At what point do you say, God, are you really real? And then they take him out and they tie him up and they put him on a block. And they tie his head to a rock. And the guy in the hood next to him with the axe lifts it up. When does Paul say, okay, now is a good time for a miracle, God? At what point? Is it when the axe is actually coming down? Is it when the axe begins to actually touch his skin? Because I'll tell you this. The man died. There was no miracle that kept his head on his shoulders. Paul was killed. He died. His head was separated from his body. At what point do you say, all right, God, I'm not believing in you anymore? You see, I don't know if we say that prayer never got answered, God save me. I don't know if we say that prayer never got answered, but you see, to the point to where his life stopped, he never stopped believing in God. His faith was strong, and you won't find anywhere that he ever said, I don't think this thing is real. You see, Paul only knew as much about his life as you know about yours, about what college you're going to go to, about how your family's going to turn out, about whether this girl likes you or doesn't like you. You know what I'm saying? He had just as many unanswered questions as you do. But the only difference sometimes is not the fact of how much he knew, is the fact of how well he knew the one who does know the answers to those questions. You see, if God knows the beginning to the end, I don't. I don't know what happens to Pastor Richard in 5 years. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know where I'm going to go. I have plans. I hope to be alive. Hope I don't get my head cut off. But I don't know that. But I know God does. You see, here's the crazy part. Is when you want to quit, you have to decide, what are you holding on to? What is your anchor? Is it whether you're good or comfortable or nice, or whether you have enough friends or enough money? Or is it whether or not that you're hanging on to God who does know? Bottom line is this.
Right now, if your life is shipwrecked, if your life is not good, then this is what it means. It just means it's not over yet. If it ain't good, then it ain't done. Because God promised what he said. And if God doesn't change, and look, if God doesn't lie, then that means it's just not the end yet. Because if it's not good, it's going to be. Pastor Richard, Paul got his head cut off. That's probably the best thing that ever happened to him. I know that sounds weird. Because it does. Nobody says to-do lists. Buy eggs, buy milk, do my homework, get head cut off. Bam, done. Checking all those off today. No, no. But I'll tell you this. It was the end of something difficult and the beginning of something great. If you have Jesus as your anchor, like I said, no matter how bad your day is, it's not that bad. Because the waves may thrash against your boat. And the lightning may crash and strike down around you. Look, they may be throwing people off the boat left and right. But as long as you're hanging on to that anchor, you're not going to get sunk. The ship may go down, but Jesus will keep your head above water. However, whatever that means, you will be okay. If life ain't good, then that just means it ain't over. So there's no reason to quit now. Because God is unchangeable. He was good, so he will be good. God's not going to lie. So if he said, I have plans for your future, they're not to harm you, but they're to help you, that means he's telling the truth. If he says, if he says, you cry out to me and I will answer you, that means he will. And if you haven't heard it yet, that just means it's not the end yet. Because God knows the beginning to the end. Look, God says, I'm the author and the finisher. He says, I start it and it ain't over till I say it's over. That's what it means when he's the finisher. So if it ain't good yet, he ain't finished. And that's what it means. That's how you can be shipwrecked, but not sunk. So if you guys got something from God today, let's give him praise.